Thank you for tuning in to the Head Game Podcast, powered by Mindful Athlete Training, where you grab an inside look into the heads and minds of the high performer. Learn what they do and how they think to help you take control of your own head game.
Welcome to another episode of the Head Game. Today's guest is Jeff Kruntzman, a thriving entrepreneur and podcaster. After discovering a unique oven cleaning service in the UK, Jeff decided that it had the potential to be something great in the United States. Converting the oven cleaning service to grill cleanings, he launched his company, The Barbecue Cleaner, into a league of its own. After several years of development and successful business, Jeff opened up his business model to other entrepreneurs. Focused on working with the trusty One Burner Grill to some of the highest outdoor kitchens in the world, Jeff has expanded his group of entrepreneurs to over 270 locations nationwide. The Barbecue Cleaner is a staple of any spring cleaning as you prepare for this summer's grill season. Today, he shares his insights into sales, working with people, and how to navigate the head game of the entrepreneur. Enjoy another look into the head game.
So, Jeff, the first question that I got to ask you is, how in the world do you get into the barbecue cleaning business?
Yeah, so it's certainly not what I went to college at Boston University for. That was not a major at the time. So I had always wanted to do my own business. It always was kind of on the forefront of my radar. I graduated college, got a job doing marketing for a corporate company, hated it, left it, and said, hey, I'm 24 years old. I'm living at home. I don't have a mortgage. I don't have kids. If there's ever was a time to start your own business or try, it's probably now. I've got in contact with a company in the United Kingdom called Ovenu that was actually cleaning ovens. So we brought this oven cleaning concept to the United States through them. And really, we're only planned to clean ovens. We didn't even think of anything else. And then we had a bunch of clients right away as the season turned in March that year in 2006 that said, hey, while you're out here doing my oven, can you do my grill? And we said, no, you know, we don't do that. You know, thanks for asking, but that's not what we do.
A lot of people might really like the notion of being an entrepreneur, fall in love with the idea of being their own boss. But then when you come up to your first real hurdle, then that can really stall you out. Talk to me a little bit about your mindset, your first 3 months, any hurdles that might have come up, any crossroads that you might have come in, bumped into.
Yeah, I think back then in those first 3 months, and I'm going to take a shot at myself here, when you're 24 years old, you think you know everything, but you don't. So I think when I approached those hurdles, the mentality was, well, it's not a big deal. I'll figure it out. I'm 25, and I've got people calling me left and right trying to throw money at me for the service. But I think it's a challenge. You've got to be able to adjust to those hurdles. And here's the other thing that I remember learning right away the hard way. When it's your business and you have there's a hurdle to overcome, no one's going to do it for you. You have to do it. And I remember in my corporate job, which lasted 8 months until I left it, when there were big problems, I passed it on to people above me. I didn't have to touch it or deal with it. It was kind of a relief. But here in those first 3 months, I remember realizing real quick, if I don't deal with this problem, it's not going to get solved. It has to be.
That's an outstanding point. Outstanding point, because I think there's such a deeper lesson to that of what young people can learn today when they're thinking about what they're capable of, their aspirations, you know, with the dominant message that does get sent out through social media platforms where it appears that success is abundant, that you never really see the sweat equity or the failures. And for a lot of people, I think when they come to that crossroad of difficulty and they're not quite sure and the uncertainty starts to mount, if you don't know how to proactively problem solve, you will sink. You won't swim. And I think that's such an incredible lesson in any sort of, you know, entrepreneurial effort, whether it's, you know, a barbecue business, which stemmed from an oven cleaning business to our own situation here and the businesses that we've begun. And trying to help other people come to a greater realization of how they can become more mentally fit. It really doesn't matter the idea or even the mission, but it has a lot to do with what kind of inventory you can take. Talk to me a little bit, Jeff, about the inventory that you took early on that you still take as an entrepreneur.
From a mental point of view, in terms of inventory?
Mental, emotional, psychological, whatever strikes you, whatever, you know, kind of leaps off the page.
Well, you never have a day off, right? It's your own business. So the inventory is always there. I've never had my mental warehouse where there's nothing in inventory. I wouldn't
love that. Yeah. Love that.
I wouldn't know what that's like. I am jealous of people in a sense that would know what it's like. But you're always on, right? And I think part of that problem, like when I look at my dad, who had a very successful corporate career, you know, we would be out on the weekends with him, you know, 25 years ago. They didn't have a phone with your work emails going off on a Sunday and all that stuff. I think the inventory is always going in and out 7 days a week because of kind of what you alluded to before, social media, technology, all that stuff. I mean, it's... So the inventory I took on in the beginning was really trying to learn not just this business, but also how to deal with people. Right at 24, I didn't have experience in how to deal with people from a business point of view, customer service, which is really the backbone of this business. So that inventory, taking that on, taking on the challenge of running the numbers, all P&Ls, all this stuff. I mean, it was everything. Now the inventory, I think, is more mainstreamed where it stays, for the most part, pretty consistent in what's an inventory in my warehouse. But it is all, I mean, my mental warehouse, I'll call it. But there is always a ton of moving parts daily, 7 days a week.
We might have to trademark that, Jeff.
When you're going through that process, right, that learning curve, you know, what are some of those things, that kind of light bulb moments for you? Was it something that you innately had? Was it something that you needed to learn from a mentor? Was it something just like get kicked in the ass and then have to kind of find your way? Like, what was it for you that kind of sparked your understanding more as you went through that journey?
All about relating to people, right? All about how you deal with people. So if it's a customer and you're out on a cleaning and that person is paying you money for the service, doing whatever you need to do when you're there so that when you leave, they're happy, right? That's what it's all about. This is all... And it sounds like it's not rocket science, but it's not that easy, right? Because every person is different, and trying to understand what each individual client is looking for and then making sure at the end that client has gotten to where they want to go so that they're happy. Because in my business in particular, if they're happy, they're going to use you again, which means the revenue from that one client that we're using as an example is going to keep coming and coming. So the lightning bolt moment, I think, and still to this day, 18 years later, is still there, is trying to understand how to deal with people so that they're happy and they're getting what they want, I think is key. I think if you can't communicate with people, you're going to have a very hard time.
Yeah. And I think to your point, too, about communication as it relates to the small business, and you talk about how you first got started, all of those small things, they add up. And I think it's another lesson for the young entrepreneur out there that might be listening. When you're thinking about building your own business, when you're conceptualizing your first few points that you need are based on what are the needs of your clients, when you identify those pain touch points and you say to yourself, okay, if that's a problem, how am I going to conceptualize the solution? I think so often because, and I want you to speak about this, Jeff, because of technology, I think a lot of younger people sometimes overlook the human element. They overlook the customer service. They overlook the human satisfaction. Talk to me about that.
I think it's probably the most important thing you need to be successful. I've said this in interviews before. If you can't communicate with people, good luck. I mean, you've got to be able to communicate with, if you're dealing with customers yourself, so if you, let's say you're in a sales career, if you can't deal with customers and know how to communicate effectively, I don't know how you can be successful. I have no idea. I mean, good luck to you. So I would agree with that, Lee. I think you really need that attribute to be able to talk to people.
So where'd you learn to communicate, Jeff? Is this an innate skill for you? Was it modeled for you? Like, talk to us about, you know, what that skill, because a lot of people would identify that more as a soft skill, right? Because they get very hyper-focused on the other skills that are more traditional across the board.
I would love to answer that question and tell you I learned it as a communication major at Boston University, but I'll be very honest with you. What I remember about Boston University is playing PlayStation hockey and eating Domino's pizza at 4 a.m. So I don't know that it was there. I think it's
two additional soft skills that are highly relevant to any college education.
Yes, absolutely. Anyone that wants to challenge me in PlayStation hockey from 1999, I'm ready. Just contact me and we'll do that. But I think it's actually a work in progress. I think you're always trying to get better in communicating with people. And in my business, it comes with experience because I do it every day, right? I don't think I learned it from one person. I don't think I learned it from one thing. I think it's just you get better because you're dealing with people now in the barbecue cleaner success around the country all the time and talking with people in different roles, whether they're my clients of someone whose grills I clean or they're someone who started the business through us. It's a very different relationship, obviously, between the two, and kind of learning over time how to talk to people. I think it's the single most important skill.
Absolutely. Trying to navigate that challenge of understanding, you know, what people need and what people want, sometimes seeing what they maybe could value from before they do, I think is a critical piece. And then how do you communicate it and navigate it for them? You know, I always say you can show somebody, it's kind of like you can lead someone to water, right? But they have to kind of drink it themselves, right? So it's, you know, you can recognize, and I think somebody in your industry, I feel like there's a need, right? It's most people don't clean their grill. Like most people aren't doing these things. Most people aren't taking the time to do these things, but they don't necessarily recognize or even know that you exist in the first place.
Yeah. And so that's a great point, Dr. Stevens, in that that's one of the things that we fight all the time, right? People don't know the service exists. If you had carpets and you needed your carpet cleaned, hey, I could do a Google search and say, you know, there's plenty of people that clean carpets. People don't really know that grill cleaning exists. Once they do, they go crazy for it. They use it all the time. They're customers for life. But you're right. They don't, you know, it's like your example there, you know, you can lead someone to water, they got to drink it. I've got to get them to the point through marketing that they know the service exists, right? So it's a similar battle. There's definitely some correlations there.
Yeah. So like a big thing that we work with more so, you know, we work with mindful athlete training. So we train people's mental fitness and we always gear it towards a more proactive approach, right? But most people go to somebody from a mental standpoint kind of reactively, right? High performers after something happens. You know, what are some of the proactive ways? Like if I'm going to get a grill, it's like only if my grill is really, really dirty, maybe I'll go get somebody. Like, why do it proactively? Why is this something that I should consistently engage with?
Well, I think there's a lot of benefits for that person. I mean, first off, getting the grill clean removes, you know, carcinogens. And we know carcinogens are in the news, not for good reason. So you don't want to be, you know, eating that off your grill. You don't want to be kind of having old salmon skin from the salmon you cooked a month ago in your steak, or remnants of it. So there's that. You know, removal of grease greatly reduces the risk of a fire. I mean, the number one cause of grill fires are grease
buildup. I can speak to that.
Yeah.
I think everyone can at some point.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's funny how many people have firsthand experience with that. So
you know, yeah, that's a pain point right there that you just hit.
Yeah. Jeff. Okay. So removing the grease removes all, you know, the fire risk as well. And then a lot of people now have outdoor kitchens, really high-end grills. So if you get it clean, it removes the corrosion, you know, that's going to start, right? If you don't maintain your grill and it rusts out in 2 or 3 years, I don't think you want to be replacing a $10,000 outdoor kitchen. So getting it cleaned out, you know, not only reduces the corrosion factor, in turn, it prolongs the life of your grill and your investment, which a lot of these things are so expensive right now, they're investments.
So Jeff, everything you said makes perfect logic, perfect sense. How do you create that conversion, right? How do you get those people to recognize logically, yes, this makes sense. How do you grab them? Is it through that marketing? Is it through those people? Is that interaction? How do you actually grab them in to say, no, this is a service that I actually need?
Yeah, so the answer to that has changed in the 18 years. When I started it, I had a much harder time than our people do now when they start up, because back in 2006, if we go back to those dark ages, you had a huge reliance on print. The internet wasn't what it is. So we would go out and do local newspaper advertising, which right now in 2023, I would never recommend to someone that's getting started. So it's really, though, fighting that and getting that message out through marketing. And some of the marketing channels have changed for sure. But I think now people have a much easier time, because what the internet has done for small businesses is it's given them a platform that's a lot more cost effective and a ton of different ways of going about things. So it's really getting those points out to people through marketing, as well as internet stuff online. I mean, that's the world we live in now.
You know, Jeff, everyone kind of has their pitch of, like, you know, what it is that they do. They've got their elevator. You know, so if I'm interested in, like, really pursuing some type of entrepreneurial effort, and this niche of barbecue cleaning that you've clearly kind of, you know, we're speaking to people that are really committed to mastering their own level of their work. What is it about the barbecue cleaning business that you could say in 60 seconds that it is relevant for me as the small business entrepreneur, like, looking to, like, get it going?
Sure. I mean, you get started with us, you're not paying any ongoing fees. So there's not, you know, 7% of your net sales going back to someone. You keep 100% of what you make. You're not starting a business like carpet cleaning, like I mentioned before, that has 75 to 100 competitors in your market. You have little to no competition. You can get in on the ground floor. The system has worked in over 270 locations. Wherever we've expanded to, it's worked. The sky's the limit. You know, you can work from home, set your own schedule. I have two kids. So for me, today, ironically, they have half days because parent conferences. I have the ability to, I'll be there at 1 o'clock for pickup because I just won't schedule cleanings in the afternoon. So, you know, you can kind of set your schedule around your business. And there's a ton of demand. I mean, once people know you're open, they go crazy for it. And the expansion potential is there. We've had a lot of people now that have expanded to multi-units to keep up with the demand that they see.
Yeah, that's a unique kind of, I guess, model, you know, that you kind of set them up for success and then kind of let them free. And I think that's very unique in that. And I haven't really heard about that. You know, some of the things I'm hearing what you're saying too is recognize a need, recognize where there's a minimal barrier to entry, and recognize how you can have a competitive advantage. And it seems like you've established this. This didn't happen overnight, right?
No.
Like, what went into this for you that created this?
So what happened was, the year that we started and we had all that success here in Northern New Jersey, where we're located, we got a couple phone calls from people around the country saying, hey, I live in Dallas, I live in Phoenix, I want to do what you're doing. How can you set me up? And we said no. And we said no for 3 years. We said no until we felt like we were at a point where we felt comfortable and confident that, hey, we know exactly what we did to get the business to where it is, that someone can replicate it and we could show them how. So took some time. It really did. And we didn't jump into that. And I think we did it the right way, where we wanted to make sure the model that we had worked before we offered it to those entrepreneur people in the marketplace.
You know, Jeff, in today's world, when so many people want success yesterday, you're emphasizing this core concept of patience.
Mm-hmm.
And you clearly kind of walked that walk before you started to talk it. What other parts of the business model that you think are essential for success require patience just in your own journey?
Yeah, well, I think you hit the nail on the head, right? Everyone wants success last week. I mean, everyone thinks that, you know, it's going to happen overnight, and it's not. You need to be patient. You know, we give you a whole manual and a blueprint of how to run this business. And if you follow the blueprint, which is, you know, probably going to give you a lot of success, you're going to get to where you want to go, but it's not going to come the next day open up. I mean, it's going to take some time. Got to build your client base. You got to be patient. You got to adjust your marketing. I think it's super important with our people when they start that I say to them, look, in month two or three, you have a very critical thing that you need to do. You need to be patient in the beginning, and month two or three, you need to sit there and say, what have I done? What marketing is working? So the clients that I have, where are they hearing about? What is not working? And you kind of scale back on the things that aren't working, take the money we're spending there, put it into the things that are working to drive that more. So patience in the beginning. We all want data. We all want results overnight, but you need to be patient. You know, all businesses, I mean, if you look, businesses that are really successful, particularly the ones that are like small businesses, home-based businesses, it doesn't happen overnight. But if you stay true to the method, it's going to happen.
Yeah. I'm also hearing flexibility too.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, what are the characteristics? You know, you provide this model, but what are the characteristics that you see in people who are successful in this kind of, you know, they are ultimately, they're pulling from what your business is, but they're really starting their own kind of business within their market, correct?
Yeah, and I think those people, when they start, so I think there's two answers to that question. I think when they start, the characteristics that we see is it's people that have always wanted to run their own business. They've wanted to work from home. They may be missing their kids' activities at night and during the day, et cetera. So they want the flexibility of their own schedule. It's people who want to really take control of their financial stuff. We have a lot of people that have been laid off in the corporate world, and they come to us and say, I'm not doing that again, right? I want to be my own boss. So I think those are the characteristics of people that, or that's the most popular characteristics of the people we see. Then when they get started, the characteristics of the successful ones are the ones that stay true to the blueprint, right? I use the example of, we give you an autopilot plane, right? Follow the instructions on the autopilot. If you sit there and you're trying to do crazy stunts with the plane and do flips and stuff, I don't know why you would do that. And I can't tell you that you're going to be successful. But if you stay true to what we give you, you have a very high chance of being successful.
Right. So I'm also hearing, Jeff, the concept of discipline, mm-hmm. right? So I'm hearing patience. I'm hearing flexibility. I'm also hearing discipline. And this is kind of more of those characterological traits, that blueprint. Share with us a little bit more some other traits, perhaps personality traits that you feel that you've sculpted and you've developed over your years as an entrepreneur.
Because there's a difference between people who like want to be their own boss and who actually can be their own boss, right?
Successfully, yeah. That's a great point.
I think there is, so my senior year in high school, right? I was 18. They said to us we needed to do a quote, right, in your yearbook. And I wanted to do, and I don't remember what it was, but I wanted to do something like sports related, and I didn't do it. And I came up with my own quote, which is kind of, I think, the answer to that question. And my senior quote that I came up with was, if you don't believe in yourself, you don't believe in anything. So I think the people that are successful that get to that point that we're talking about, you have to have a belief in yourself and you have to have a belief in whatever your business is. Because if the person on the other end, the client who's going to buy your product or service, whatever it may be, if you're not passionate about it and you're not really into it, you're not going to have the sort of level of success that you want. You need to have a belief in yourself, in your own mindset. Whatever your mindset is, you've got to believe in. You got to practice what you preach, and you got to believe in what you're selling, right? So I think having that belief mentally in yourself is so crucial. It's imperative to success. I wouldn't even go that far.
Yeah. We talk regularly with high performers and talking about confidence. You know, confidence is ultimately a belief in your ability, right? Belief in trust in yourself. And it's not for a lack of doubt, right? Confident people can have doubt. Confident people in the product can have doubt. Will this work? Is it going to kind of plan out? But when you believe then that it is something that's worth the value, or you are worth the value, you can overcome those obstacles. So it's not about that lack of doubt, right? It's making sure that you have that overall belief in yourself. And that's what I'm hearing. It's this overall confidence in oneself and trust that it will work out. But it ultimately comes down to executing as well.
Yep. It's all about it's confidence in yourself, believing in yourself, and then executing. And then as we talked about before, you're going to encounter hurdles, right? I mean, there's no one that it's like, you know, a dream sprint and you get right to the finish. It's a marathon, right? It's not a sprint. So you've got to be able to overcome those hurdles. And I think part of the way you overcome those is mentally you need to believe in yourself that you're going to get over the hurdles, and you will.
It influences that adaptability, that openness to learn. I was listening to something recently. It was the former CEO of IBM, and she was talking about how a critical change for them was to really not just look for people with skills, but they changed their entire application hiring process to scan or look for people who had the willingness to learn. So they changed behavioral questions, assessments, et cetera, because the willingness to learn showcased growth more than anything else rather than just a skill. So, you know, that trust and belief in the product and the service and what I'm capable of doing, I think also opens up that category, opens up that channel for learning or willingness to learn.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think they all go hand in hand. And I think if you have any of those pieces that you just mentioned that aren't working or not there, the whole business as a whole is not going to have the same success. You need everything working in line together, kind of what you're alluding to. I would agree with you.
Yeah, Jeff, when you mentioned earlier about, you know, some of the key traits and what it is to aspire to own your own business. You mentioned the balance, you know, you have children. And I think a lot of people, when they think about owning their own business, they think about the work-life balance and some of the perks that come along with it. But I think a lot of people don't really consider the challenges that also come because you're on your own. I mean, like, I remember when I first opened my shop, my first business, I had this realization of me wanting to be on my own for so long that that had really become my true north. And then I had this outer body realization the day that I got fired from my other job because I was too busy working on my own business. And I said to my wife, kind of like, you know, be careful what you wish for, because this wave rolled over on me. It's like, as of tomorrow, it's all on me. How do you balance some of those moments, some of those all on me moments?
Yeah. So I'll tell you a funny story of what you just said. So when we started this business back in 2004, I will never forget. I don't know why this moment is vivid. So we moved into an office space on Monday morning. Okay. We rented an office space, which we still have today. And the person who gave me the key, showed me where the restroom was, showed me where the snacks machine was, about to leave my office. And I was about to ask her, what do you want me to do? And it was at that moment I realized, when she walks out the door, it's on me to figure it out, right? Like, she's just the admin up front. She's not going to tell me what I need to do for the business. So how do I balance it? It's a challenge, right? I mean, every day is a challenge. I joke, but it's really true, that I never have 2 days that are the same. So, and you're right, it's all on me, and you've got to find that balance, and knowing that it's on you, knowing that you have to have the mental toughness and the discipline, as you mentioned before, is a great word, to do it yourself, but also have the balance of having the kids and the wife and all the other stuff. It's a challenge. Every day with it is a challenge, because the schedule is not the same. I haven't mastered it. I can't master it because the challenges are changing. I could be on a plane at an opening 1 week, like I am next week I'm on the road. It's a constantly changing landscape. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Again, it goes back to the requirement of that. More so, less than just flexibility, but more so adaptability. You know, flexibility is kind of the ability to adapt to that chaos, the challenges that come with it. You know, we regularly talk about chaos theory, and chaos theory kind of talks about how nothing is random, everything is deterministic. It's just for a lack of information, right? So if you look at like a soccer pitch and you don't know the game of soccer, it looks like everybody's just kind of running around. But as you kind of understand the game, you can understand, you know, there's an offense, there's a defense. And by, you know, knowing Messi's on the field, you know he's going to score, right? Those types of things. But for business, sometimes there's a lot of randomness, or it seems random until you gain a little bit more experience. You're open to learning. You adapt a little bit. You find that this works. You find that this doesn't work. And you slowly learn over that process. But I think, you know, as Lee, as you said, Jeff, as well, it's that patience, it's that adaptability that's required to do that, to be successful ultimately.
And it's hard to do, right? Like, it would be a lot easier if it was just, you never have to adapt. Yeah, you do it one way and that way works, and it works for 40 years and it's all you need to do. But you have to adapt, and the adaptation can be painful. I mean, it really can. And it's hard. I mean, there's stuff all the time that I deal with in this business that was not an issue last week, and it is now an issue now after 18 years. So yeah, you're right. I mean, it's hard. It's a challenge.
I think also sometimes too, that, you know, in business, we tend to focus on, you know, we have our trajectory, we have our goals, which are important. But I think sometimes we lose sight of the small successes that may be less impactful, and start to hyper-focus on the things that we're not achieving or the marks that we're not making, which I think is a mistake. But I think it's also part of human nature sometimes because especially if we're more of a type A, you know, that high-performing individual, it's all on me, you know, the responsibility. Learning how to allocate, learning how to lead, in a sense, is also another skill. You know, we were fortunate enough this past summer to go out to Montana and work with a consulting group, Azimuth Consulting, a retired lieutenant colonel, a former Green Beret, special ops, really a master of his own leadership domain, right? And one of the things that he would always emphasize, and we were out there for about a week in one of his leadership expeditions, one of the things that he would always emphasize is just put one foot in front of another. Just keep moving. You know, if your objective is that business or that literal mountain out in front of you that often looks so daunting, if you just keep moving, putting one foot in front of the other, then you don't realize how much you can accomplish, how much you can achieve. Jeff, what are some of your mental tips that you might be able to share with the entrepreneur, the high performer out there who's listening, that help you put one foot in front of the other?
Yeah, well, first off, I think the way you phrased it is perfect. You got to keep your feet moving, right? If you stay stagnant, it's not probably going to be where you want to be. You've got to keep going. You've got to find what your personal drive is. For me, it's my kids, right? I mean, I think most parents would tell you that. So, you know, when I have moments of toughness, I think of them, and I think that that forces me to keep my feet moving and maybe move a little bit faster and try and work out of, you know, the hole or whatever situation you're in. I think, again, it comes back to a belief in yourself and knowing that you can solve problems. It may not be easy. You may not know the answer in the given moment, but there is an answer out there. You need to be patient and disciplined, as we also talked about. I mean, we've hit on some pretty high-level stuff here that I think is very accurate. And, you know, you've got to have a belief in yourself. And if you've done it before and you've had success to this day, there's no reason why you can't continue it. So you got to remember that. You got to, you know, sometimes you got to take a step out of the forest to see the trees, that analogy, right? And kind of see where you are. And when you see that, it hopefully it kind of gives you that ability to stay mentally tough and sharp.
When a business, you know, kind of building that small business or building now even a large business too, everything is moving so fast. You know, how do you take that step back? Like, how do you allow yourself, like, because everything's moving, you're trying to juggle so many things, like, how do you take that step back so that you can see more of the picture, you know, as it's unfolding?
Yeah, it's hard. My wife is very good at it. I'll have times sometimes where I get frustrated with something at work, and she's the one that's able to take the viewpoint of not being in the forest and out of the trees and say, look what you've done, look where you've gotten, you'll get through it. And, you know, most of the time she's absolutely correct. So it's hard to do. I think when you're engrossed in it, like we talked about before, when you're living this 24/7, 7 days a week with the phone, it's very difficult to do that. I'm certainly not a master of it. I wish I had the better skill set to do that, because I think it would be helpful and kind of refreshing from a mental point of view too. From an anxiety point of view, it would be good. But I think it's hard, but I think my wife is really good at that with me sometimes.
So having that support system to help pull you out, even if it's a coworker, even if it's just a spouse or a partner in general. Absolutely.
You know, and the problem with that is when it's your business, you don't have anyone above you, right, to tell you, right? So you have to go outside of the business to find that person, that support system, the spouse or whatever, because there's no one above you.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Some of the things that I'm here listening to you say, Jeff, obviously, you know, being a business owner and, you know, starting an idea, really trying to put things in motion, it becomes daunting sometimes in the safety of your own mind, because I think regardless of how confident all persons might be in their endeavors, there does come that moment of doubt. You know, this really feels like a good idea to me. And is it something that other people are going to gravitate to? And, you know, we're talking about character traits. We're talking about concepts like taking inventory. And, you know, one of the things that I think is important for so many to understand when they're just getting going is, when there are challenges, both mentally and emotionally, if we can see them as opportunities versus obstacles, that's the mindset shift that I think really takes place throughout the course of business. And why that is relevant is because when you're seeing more of the opportunity versus the obstacle, it often dictates our presentation style, the extent of our communication, what we've been talking about is confidence. Have there been moments for you, perhaps earlier on, and even throughout the course of, you know, your entrepreneurial run here, where you feel that there are some moments that some might see as obstacles that you see as opportunities?
Yeah, definitely. And I think I'm guilty of the opposite too, where there's probably an opportunity and I look at it as an obstacle. Like, I'm guilty of seeing it both ways.
Right.
There is, you know, for sure, I can think of some moments we've had where they've been, I don't want to say crossroads moments for the business, because that would probably would be too extreme, but there have been critical moments where you kind of get to a fork in the road and it's an obstacle to decide which way you want to go. But, you know, if you pick the right road, it can lead to a much bigger opportunity for the business, for sure. I mean, I've seen that on a couple different things, actually multiple things, more than a couple that I could think of right off the top of my head. So I think using in those situations when you decide and you kind of see where that it's going to become an opportunity, not an obstacle, that's where experience plays in, right? Have I seen this before? What are the pros and cons and being patient and disciplined, right? It all comes back to some of the stuff we talked about and how you deal with those moments.
There's a lot of kind of information out there too on the value of that experience, you know, and people can't always have that experience, especially when you're starting out. But the other aspect that I think that is really critical is your ability to kind of self-regulate attentionally and emotionally. Am I paying attention to the right things, right? And am I attuning to my own emotions throughout that process? You know, I think that's one of the critical pieces that shift it from obstacle into opportunity is that self-regulation throughout that, being able to check in with yourself, because you're going to be emotionally challenged, right, as a result of an obstacle naturally, and your attention is going to be shifting in multiple domains and focuses. So really having that self-regulation, being able to attune to that more efficiently, experience allows you to do that more efficiently because you can trust in that. But I think also you can have that as somebody who's young and somebody who's developing too. And it sounds like you, although yes, you maybe was pulled into more of the obstacle, it seems like you were more able to, okay, let's problem solve this. Let's try to figure this out. It wasn't, this is an obstacle and now we can't do anything. It didn't kind of freeze you up. You kind of thought about it more so as that growth moment.
Some of the positives and the negatives that, you know, are consistent with owning your own business. Let's just kind of play like a quick game, you know, if you'll permit us. So what's one of the finer moments that you can recall as it relates to your business? Like, don't think like, you know, what's at the top of your mind?
Sure. Very easy. I say it all the time in interviews, the time I spend with my family, right? I set my own schedule. Not even that is, it's not the money. It's the freedom of having the schedule, then do what I want to do to be around for my kids. 100%. That's an easy
question. What's the most difficult part?
Difficult part is I think understanding that you've got to figure out problems yourself when they're there or challenges. And every day there's stuff that doesn't go as you want. But you've got to be the one to solve it. 18 years later, it's not really a part of the business I enjoy. Who wants to really deal with problems? But I think that's the challenge, is knowing the responsibility and the buck stops with you.
What do you love most about working with clients?
Learning about them, talking to people, hearing their stories. Everybody's different. No two people are the same, obviously. So I love that aspect. I love dealing with people. Biggest challenge for sure is that some can be tough. And some could be demanding and some could have very high expectation. And you've got to try and do what you can do to match that expectation to get them to the expectation they want. Start your own business.
Yeah. One of my final questions too for you is I like to understand when I talk to high performers about different nuanced things, you know, things that the average person might not know if they haven't gone through that experience. Now, you can do this, I guess, from one or two perspectives. You could do it from your entrepreneurial perspective of what's the nuanced thing that maybe most people don't understand that could be needed to be successful, or you can do it from the barbecue cleaning business aspect of it more so, like what's a nuanced thing that people don't necessarily recognize that if I was just at home trying to clean my own grill that maybe I would need to be paying attention to more. So what's that nuanced thing? You know, I think about it as, you ever seen Ocean's 11?
Yes.
Yeah. So like, it's kind of when like everything is going on throughout the movie. Spoiler alert, the movie's been out long enough, right? But at the end, they kind of showcase how the entire robbery took place, right? Behind the scenes, things that you wouldn't know, they were one step ahead. So what's your like one step ahead that like a customer wouldn't even know about that you're already thinking before it happens?
Yeah, I mean, I do a trick that I do with customers, whether you're a grill cleaning customer or you're someone that's looking to start your own business, let's say you live 3,000 miles away, before I call you back or email you, I do a Google search because I'm trying to find something common among us that we can have a conversation about. I'll give you a perfect example. There was a guy a couple months ago who called just to get his grill clean, right? He doesn't know me. He's Google searching and finds a company. And I Google his name to see, you know, little things about him. And he's a huge hockey fan. He loves hockey. So what do? Before we even talk about the grill cleaning, I find a way to segue into about hockey. You know, I'm going to a hockey game tonight. I'm a little tired. Oh, what team do you go to? And the sale is so easy because that trust is there and that comfort, right? So little things like that can make a big, big difference. Preparation, right? You prepare. I know you guys talk about it on your show because I've done my research on you. Like, you know, mentally being prepared for the moment or the business is so important. And it translates to, you know, I'm sure you guys see it with athletes, right? Preparation is key. If you go into a game or a sport, you're not prepared, it's probably not going to go well. It's the same thing here in the business world. There's definitely a correlation. Be prepared. Know what you're getting involved in. Do your work. And at the end, you're probably going to be pretty happy.
I love all of that. I think that's so important. And I think that's an insight, right? Most people don't think about. Did that come naturally, or was that years of experience learning how to do that more effectively?
Years of experience. Yeah, I was doing something in 2006 when I was 26. I knew to do that. But that's a trick that I use now, though. Yeah.
Right. And that's the key of kind of learning from the experts. That's awesome.
I think also, too, it has much to do with, again, we start to have some thoughts about what might work in business, how we can impact our bottom line. But it does come down to, at some point, taking what I refer to as appropriate risk, right? So your gut instinct, Jeff, whenever that idea might first come to you about finding a common interest to really establish trust and rapport increases the likelihood of a sale. You have to have enough faith in your own ability to go out and do that search, garner that information, but then find the window of opportunity to introduce it. And that's the risk. And I think that's where a lot of people fall short, especially in today's world where there's just information around us at all times, where we can go out and do the search. We can garner the intel, but it's in the execution of the moment. And often it's not until we do it once successfully where we have the aha moment, like, oh, well, that makes so much sense. I'm going to, and before you know it, you know, you Absolutely. Integrate that, you weave that into your game.
It becomes part of your daily game plan. Absolutely. Once you see that it works. Yep.
Awesome. So Jeff, anything that you would like to kind of tell our audience or talk to our audience about, maybe about a little bit about your business, or I know you have a podcast as well. Would love to hear a little bit more about those two things and kind of just let our audience know these things exist.
Sure. Yeah, we started a podcast about 2.5 years ago, which is strange to believe it's been that long ago now. Mind Your Puckin' Business. We talk a lot about hockey.
Love that.
We're very New York Ranger focused. However, we, you know, talk NFL. We do weekly picks. You know, we had a guest from ESPN on with us yesterday. So it's a lot of fun. We have that. We usually tape on Tuesdays. You can find us on YouTube, Spotify, and iTunes. Our Instagram page is gotten very popular. People send us questions all the time, so we answer them there. The barbecue cleaner, as we talked about, the BBQcleaner.com. I would encourage you to check us out. If you're looking to start your own business, if you're looking to get your grill clean, we can put you in touch with the person closest to your local area. So yeah, that's the quick rundown.
Wonderful. So Jeff, I just want to kind of take a moment and thank you the entrepreneurial world, those persons that are in it, that are striving to be part of it. You don't have a lot of time to yourself. As you said earlier, you're on 7 days a week. So, we identify that time is the most valuable commodity, and there's not a lot of it. So thank you for sharing some of your time with us. We really do appreciate it, and helping us kind of communicate this message to the high performers, the entrepreneurs out there, of what peering into the head game of key persons can really be all about and how it can help them with their own journey.
So thank you guys for having me. You guys have a great show. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks. Appreciate it.